The star attraction is Dami Im, a singer so talented that she achieved what appears to be nearly impossible, turning a win on reality TV into a proper musical career. Since taking out the X Factor, she's produced 5 albums, a bunch of hits, performed for Australia in Eurovision, covered the Carpenters, done voices for movies, been chased by fashion labels, and generally been a bit of a star. But of course, her career highlight is being here right now with you. Good morning, Dami. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good, good. I like that introduction.
How was the flight into Hobart?
It was very long. I spent the whole of yesterday basically going on this flight to the next one. I basically went all through the East Coast and then I made it by evening.
Did you get to have dinner in Tasmania? That's the important thing. You've got to have that first dinner.
I went and had the best fish and chips I've ever had. It was so good. We went to Fish Frenzy.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, yeah, it was so good. The fish was so fresh. Like it's just like the same fish and chips that we have.
No, it's not. I can tell you that. No, it's not. Now, do you like events like this one you're going to be singing at tonight, where the audience is encouraged to sing along?
I, you know, to be honest, like I've never been to one where it's like the theme is singing and everyone's meant to sing with. Is that what happens?
Yeah. Like everyone actually gets taught a song by the organisers of the festival. There's actually kind of workshops beforehand, and so
wow.
Today's, I believe, is Lovers in the Air, and then everyone sings along.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, you know, when I do concerts and stuff and then, you know, sometimes people like to sing along to the songs that they know and that's like, that's really cool. But then I just imagine like, you know, not everyone gets into it and people are shy about it. But yeah, I think it's really cool. Like everybody, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to just having that kind of participation, if you like.
Now, I think the projects you choose in a musical career are enormously important in kind of creating that career path for yourself. Do you have a plan for your career path or do you just kind of take it one project at a time?
I think up until a certain period, like after X Factor, a few years after that, I didn't really have a plan because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Like what, you know, like as you said, like after a talent show, like what the hell do you do?
Mm.
I didn't have a plan. But then now it's like that was 6 years ago.
Yeah,
so somewhere along there I was like, oh, I've got to have a plan, you know, otherwise I'll just turn into whatever people kind of toss, you know, like there's like people pulling and pushing everywhere. So I don't want to become a random thing that somebody else wants me to become. So yeah, now I can say like I do have a bit of a plan. Like I have to be flexible, but I do have like a general direction.
Okay, what's the Dami Im 5-year plan?
Well, generally it's basically to make the music that I want to make, not things that get shoved at me kind of thing. So
now, what got shoved at you at the end of X Factor? What happens there? You finish, I've won this TV show. Do you have an automatic contract you have to walk into? Do you get offered things you have to do?
So I got signed to a label straight away, Sony Music, which was great, you know. I didn't have anything like that before. So, and then I get to work with, like, all these people. And, yeah, basically, like, I realized if I don't have a plan, then, yeah, somebody else will give it to you. So it's not like they're shoving it at me as such, but it's like I wasn't, you know, presenting my big plan, so you know there were different ideas and I just sort of went with the flow.
So you've got to take control or someone else is going to take control?
Yeah.
When did you feel that you had the reins yourself and it was Dami's show rather than someone else's?
That was I think somewhere after Eurovision, you know, when I did Eurovision, and I got a really really good result from that. I came second for Australia, and to me that was like, you know, it was like something that I could never imagine. And you know, and then I realized, you know what, like I can actually do this and I want to do this. So I'll do it my way. I won't do it like anybody else wants me to do it.
I was looking back over your career and your albums and I saw an album of Carpenters covers in the middle there. And I thought, what made you want to do that? Is that just songs that appeal to you? Or was there a reason that you really wanted to do that?
One reason was like I said, I didn't know what else to do at that time. I was a bit lost. But then Carpenters, you know, like grew up listening. My parents listened to it, so I sort of knew some of their songs, and I used to like cover their songs when I used to sing at this Chinese restaurant I used to sing at before our X Factor and things like in my gigs, like that was in my set list. So I thought, okay, well, you know, if people want me to do this, then all right, I'll just have a go. And yeah, I really enjoyed doing that.
So there's some people in, you know, Sydney, I guess. Is it Sydney you're from?
I'm based in Brisbane.
Who remember you from singing in a Chinese restaurant when you were a kid, essentially?
I guess. I mean, I'm sure the boss lady remembers it. She hired me to do it. So, yeah, I used to be just a piano player, but she, yeah.
Now, I have some friends who are enormous fans of yours and big fans of Eurovision, and the whole thing, of course, culminates with the two of you coming together. And so I put on Facebook, what should I ask Dummy Im when I speak to her? So I have questions from the fans, if you're ready to take them.
Okay.
So Tracy says, what happens to your social media presence when you come second in the world's biggest song contest? Do you go from like 1,000 followers to 3 million in the space of a week?
Oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes. I mean, not quite 3 million, but yeah, that's what happened. Like, it went, I don't know the numbers. I'm really bad with numbers for an Asian. I went from like, you know, I think it's almost doubled in those couple of weeks that I was there for. And then it drops again. When it's over, it sort of drops. So, yeah, you get back to reality.
And she also wonders, how do you mentally prepare for performing to 200 million people?
You know, I think you sort of try not to think about it like that. You just don't think about it. And then moments you do think about it, it really scared the crap out of me. Like, I'd be like, oh my gosh, like there's people everywhere watching me like right now, live.
And I'm tottering about on a really high box as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh my goodness, like I can't get this wrong. But then I try and not think about that, because that made my palms just sweat and rain.
So what do you think about when you want to be calm when you're on stage?
Just the song, you know, when I'm, you know, stay in the moment kind of thing.
Looking back over that career path and that explosion, you know, into X Factor and Eurovision, etc., when was the moment when you actually got to have a weekend in tracksuit pants?
Oh, I do that all the time. Yeah. No, it's like, you know, with this type of career, I think you're either crazy busy, you don't have time to, you know, like sit down and, you know, do anything or talk to your family. And then you get like all this time where you got nothing. So those times I'm just in my tracksuit at home, not going anywhere.
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart. I'm Joel Reinberg. Dummy Im is with us. She is performing at the Big Sing at Salamanca Place tonight. She's also, of course, very well known for taking out X Factor and being Australia's representative at Eurovision. Lucy wants to know, besides your own effort, what's been the best Australian Eurovision song?
Ooh. I mean, I think Kate Miller Heidke's song last year was really, really good. Like, her performance was, I thought, you know, it was out of this world. Like, literally, it was so amazing. She was floating on this pole. I think she personally thought, I thought she'd get a better result than that, but I thought it was just stunning.
And she was doing that vocal gymnastic that only she can do. There's no one else going to be able to compete with what she can do with her voice.
Exactly, yeah. It was crazy.
Now, Ben asks, do you feel you were robbed at Eurovision because everyone else thinks you were robbed at Eurovision?
You know, I don't know. Like, yeah, I was so close to winning when the results started coming. It was like Australia, 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 and then suddenly went second. So I was like, what just happened? But I sort of accepted it straight away. It was, you know, like that's, you know, got to be a good sport about it.
Now, John says he loves your fashion sense and wants to know, who does your styling? He's an actor, John, by the way. So he thinks someone's doing your styling, or are you doing it yourself?
Well, today I'm just in my shirt and my pants I had from home. But for my performance, I work with a stylist named Heather Cairns. Oh, she got married. Heather Picantini. So, yeah, shout out to Heather.
Has she prepared you with something really warm for tonight? Because there's a whole thing of, yes, you've got to look glamorous, but you're also in Tasmania in midwinter outside.
I'm actually so confused about that. Like, how are you meant to look like a, you know, a performer, a pop star in this weather. So I think I'm just going to keep that this puffer jacket on, and I don't know what
they're known as, the Tassie tuxedo, the puffer jacket.
Okay, yes, that's what I'm gonna, is that okay? I don't know, what do other people do?
You can wear a puffer jacket, or you can wear many layers of you know, thermals underneath whatever else you're wearing.
I don't bring that, hey.
No. You might need to pop in and buy some merino underwear at some point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so lost. I might be the one that looks really odd with like sequins and then a puffer jacket.
And a puffer jacket over the yeah. That is a Tasmanian look.
Okay. I'm going to go for the Tassie look though.
I went to the top of Mount Wellington because it snows up there, and I took my little boy up there a couple of years back, and there's a guy there who had the classic Tasmanian look. He was wearing a puffer jacket and shorts and thongs.
Oh my gosh.
Walking around in snow.
It's, oh, wow. So they just rocked up and they were like, oh, I'm cold, I'm going to put a jacket.
Put a jacket over the top of my stubbies and my thongs. And he's just there with his kid was properly bundled up, but he was just, nah.
Wow.
That is Tasmania for you. Now, Matt wants to know, do you have any favourite piano-based singer-songwriters?
Oh, piano-based singer-songwriters. I love Carole King. I think she's amazing. I was learning revising one of her songs yesterday. She's like the classic. Alicia Keys. There's so many. But those two.
Nick wants to know, how does an Australian audience compare to a European audience?
I mean, you know, I've only really know the Eurovision audience and the non-Eurovision audience. So the Eurovision audience generally are like super responsive, like they're just extra, extra, extra. Like that's, yeah, like they live and breathe Eurovision. So, you know, there's like that normal audience and then Eurovision audience that just goes through the roof.
Now, Sarah wants to know about your relationship with Dani Minogue. Are you still working with her? Did she give you the kind of support that she suggested she would during X Factor?
Dani definitely did. You know, like not every judge has to really do that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, they're getting paid to do a job on TV and look like that. But she did a lot for me. Like she came to Korea with me, like, you know, a few months after X Factor, did like this whole like interview, and she did a lot together, and we still stay in touch. So yeah, she's a good friend of mine now.
Oh, lovely. It's nice to hear these things actually working out the way they appear to work out on the television.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a separate career in Korea?
I mean, I've done some TV and things like that there, like some promotion I was there for last year. I haven't really released anything in Korean. It's just what I do here back in Korea. So it's like a niche. It's not like they like to listen to their K-pop in Korean.
And that's what we were thinking, is perhaps that, you know, maybe would you go and actually make some K-pop?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, they'd be like, why? They'd be like, we've got all these K-pop singers. Why are you doing K-pop?
What are you reading at the moment, Dami Im?
I've been reading, I love listening to Audible, the audiobooks.
Yep.
I've been listening to one called Mindsets that talks about growth mindset, fixed mindset. I find that very, really helpful.
And finally, Dami Im, I'm interested in who chooses the merch you make. Because I was tooling around on your website and there's some very cute little Dami Im stickers that you can buy.
Oh, yes. I chose them. I designed that myself.
Is it kind of weird designing a sticker of yourself?
No, it seems fun. I was like, tracing the outside of my body, my torso. I really like it. I want to make more of it.